This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. A UW La Crosse professor has written a comprehensive history of being a mother in America. Jody Vandenberg Daves is the author of Modern Motherhood and American History. Vandenberg Daves is a women's studies and history professor at UWL. Her book captures what life has been like for mothers from Puritan times when Europeans first settled in America to modern days. She talked with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis about why she wrote the book.
There was a need for this book, and there was I had a very strong, longstanding interest in it. I became a mother nearly 22 years ago, and I was already finishing my doctorate in women's history and, broadly speaking, social history. And I felt like this experience needed to be understood from a historical perspective. So I first taught the class at McAllister College when I was an adjunct professor there. And then when I came here in 1999, I developed it as part of my regular course rotation. And as I taught the class, I realized there were lots of little studies about aspects of motherhood, but there was no overarching history of the subject, even though there was there had been attempts to do kind of overarching histories of women in general. What really kind of made me realize the absence was when I saw a very good history of childhood by Stephen Mintz, and I thought, if he can do this for childhood, I bet it can be done for motherhood.
Now, your book is being marketed anyway as the first comprehensive history.
Yes.
Of motherhood in America. Why hasn't there been one written before?
One of the reasons has to do with the traditions of history. In other words, history started as a field about great men. And since the 1960s and 70s, we've had a lot more research into the lives of ordinary people, into women's history, feminist approaches to history. However, one of the things that animated that discussion back then was helping women get access to the public arenas to which they had long been denied access. For example, helping women have a broader place in the labor force, expand their access to higher education, get into politics. And so for a long time and still today, a lot of history of women is written about their struggles to get to access those areas, which is very important history and needs to be done. The history of private life, I think there is a little bit of a cultural bias that we, you know, that's just not really history. But I also think it's harder. You have to be very resourceful to find that history because the lives of mothers have often not been considered worthy of story or study. Mothers have been very busy and often have not been asked to sit down and talk about their experiences, have often not had time to write down those experiences. So sometimes you get glimpses of mothers' lives, even in what I did here, more than I would have liked. You have to go through the eyes of experts or people talking to mothers. There's still, I wish there was more. I've tried to do what I could with what historians have found. It's really a synthesis of many other people's work here as historians.
Your book starts with the formation of America, really. What was it like to be a mother at the time America was being formed?
It definitely depended on who you were. It depended on your class and race quite a bit, what it was like to be a mother, as it still does today in many respects. The Puritans would have a very long-lasting impact on our cultural norms about motherhood, so I do spend a fair amount of time with them. They had the idea that children were willful little beings who really needed a father's discipline. Fathers were considered the morally superior of the two parents, the important disciplinarians, spare the rod, spoil the child. Even when you see Puritan children pictured in art, they look like full-grown adults, just miniature. Puritans even discouraged crawling. They wanted children to be upright as fast as possible and independent. And this is not maybe just entirely a Puritan thing. Children were valued for their labor, and they needed to be disciplined to be laborers in many parts of the world at that time. Of course, the situation was different for enslaved mothers, different for women who were in the southern colonies, many of whom came over as indentured servants. And if they got pregnant while they were indentured servants, they'd have to extend their term as indentured servants. So it really varied a lot, but I do spend a fair amount of time with the Puritans inheritance, because one of their things too was that the father was the head of the family, and that women's labor as mothers and in general was less valued than it was in, say, native cultures or African cultures. And so that carried forward in American history, the idea that women's role is a secondary role. The Puritans called the wife the helpmeet. In other words, she helped her husband. So that kind of separation and somewhat devaluing of women's labor had an impact later on in American history.
What are two or three of the big trends right now for modern mothers?
You know, modern mothers are still enmeshed in an interesting culture that makes them a little crazed with an overflow of advice and information. And it's interesting that even since the 1950s, we can see survey research at that time. And this is, you know, the 1950s, a lot of women are home with children at that time. And women in survey research were somewhat insecure about the job they were doing as mothers. And you still see that today. And one of the things I talk about in the book is the rise of expert advice that tended to make women constantly trying to keep up with the up-to-date advice, which was often conflicting, and then a consumer culture, which is constantly selling mothers insecurity. Do you know about the latest safety report about your children's car seat? Do you know what your children might be eating? Do you know, you know, that they shouldn't be sucking their thumbs? Whatever it is, you know, the magazines directed to women, for example, lure you in partly with, you know, happy stories, but partly with the idea that you maybe aren't up to date on something you could know. And so although I think women are turning to one another now a little bit more with the internet, and every family situation you can find a chat room to talk about somebody in your situation, which is really cool, because there were a lot of women who were isolated before with particular situations in their families. And I think that has changed for the better. I think the overwork, overload, trying to manage what are often shrinking paychecks is a situation that women are particularly facing. And we see this massive income inequality. And around the world, really, women are often the shock absorbers of these policies that shrink the safety net and that create more difficulty balancing out family needs, dealing with bureaucracies, dealing with workplaces. 2/3 of minimum wage workers are women. Managing the inability to put food on the table very often continues to be a struggle for women. And that's not really new, but it's unfortunately a growing trend with the way our social policy has gone.
What are you hoping that people will take from this book?
I do hope that it will start new conversations about the role of mothers, in part the role of mothers in history, that mothers have a history that has impacted the rest of American history. Putting mothers at the center of the story reshapes the way we think about some things. I hope, too, that when we look at the fact that many cultures in the United States have created more community-oriented approaches to rearing children, not so privatized, just the nuclear family. When we look at that, we can see there are models of more vital kind of communities that are connected to families, because our ideal of motherhood, the dominant cultural idea, has been mother, father in the house behind the white picket fence, very privatized. But really, people have needed to rely on one another throughout history, and the experience of being in a family is often richer when you have broader community ties. So I hope that people will think critically about the very privatized nuclear family ideal. And even at the level of individuals and families and communities, how do we create more community so that we can have more of the village to raise the child idea that Hillary Clinton talked about a long time ago, and combat that privatization? I think another thing I hope that readers take away is how vital an expanded safety net is for mothers, that it's very hard to do this job without the economic resources and the opportunities in the workplace to do that. And I think that women's underrepresentation at the policymaking table has been a very long-standing, unfortunate continuity in American history. Women have, of course, gained the right to vote. Women have been very active on behalf of their children in many important social movements throughout American history, which we didn't talk about too much in this interview, but I put in the book. We need to know that history. We need to revitalize that history, and we need to have more women who've had the experience of being a caregiver at our policymaking tables.
Jody Vandenberg-Daves is a women's studies and history professor at UW-La Crosse and is the author of the book Modern Motherhood in American History. She spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis about the book, which is billed as the first comprehensive history of motherhood in America. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.